And welcome back.
Part three.
And by the way, we've been doing so much fucking rambling, and we love everybody who's still sticking around to listen to us, because we thought we would make this not only a three-part episode, but something that we could at least like make up for the lost time of which we've had. And here's the one thing that we're not doing this. I want people to understand this right now. We are not doing this for any reason other than the fact that we just like doing this. Like, we actually enjoy just being able to shoot the shit, drink a fucking cocktail, talk about whatever is on our mind, and just like let loose. And if like people agree with us, they agree with us. And if people don't, then they don't. Like, we don't give a fuck. We're here. And I just got to start this out because obviously coronavirus, new jobs. I mean, it's been a long time since we've been back here, but the Kansas City Chiefs are Super Bowl champions.
They won a Super Bowl.
And
it's not new news.
It's not new news, but it's new news to the podcast.
Yeah.
And I don't think I can ever express how my feelings towards it, because A, I'm by far the most diehard Chiefs fan. I already have a fucking I got the goddamn Arrowhead tattoo to my body, which I will be posting.
I've never seen it.
I will be posting on Instagram right now.
I just remember
on our two guys walking through our podcast. I'm about to show Matt the tattoo.
Don't show it to me yet.
All right,
show it to me.
Hold on.
Yeah, I gotta see your.
So we're gonna see it. It's right here. Check that bug out. What do you think of that?
There's no red. Where's your red?
Oh, I kept it black and white. Like, we gotta keep it real nice.
I like it. Here. Black and white. They hold up the longest.
What do you think
like
about
it.
That, though?
I think it's hot. It's
yeah. Right here. Here we go. So, we got that out of the way. It was a very, very, very exciting time in this city when it happened. I mean, it's been 50 years since we've ever even won one. And, oh, by the way, the future is so bright that I could bet on the like against the fact that we may win five more.
Can I just say, full transparency to the podcast listeners, we did record a podcast. I think it was the last time I was in town was Christmas.
Right.
We recorded a podcast and I never posted it.
He is absolutely right. We actually have, we have a ghost podcast.
There's a ghost out there right now that's never.
We could actually release it to confuse the fuck out of people and just to hear kind of like what was going on in our brains.
Well, what happened between, because the last one we posted was in October for Halloween.
Yep.
And then the one that we came back with was anything that happened between Halloween and Christmas.
Right. So it had to have been like
and
right
then a little
after
bit. It only happened a lot of Christmas.
When were you in town?
When was it?
Exactly.
Because we talked about the Super Bowl. I know we talked about the Super Bowl.
We didn't.
Maybe
because
we
at that point
going.
In time, we wouldn't have even known what was going on yet. Not even the playoffs started.
Maybe I'm wrong. Because we were talking about my chart got stolen.
Yes. But that was well before
was
the
it?
Playoffs even started.
We never talked about the Chiefs winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Ever. Okay. All right. Well, we have a ghost podcast, and I might just post it randomly. I just haven't gotten to it. I have it. It's on my computer. It's there. I might just post it and say fuck it.
Exactly.
Not do any editing.
It's
just
fine.
The way these raw.
We're coming to you raw. That's the one thing I want everybody
here
to understand is that we are coming to you completely raw. We're not even going to edit this because we're too busy, but B, we kind of just like first of all, and I want to say this. Because Matt Robbins, first of all, I just can't give this guy enough credit because, A, I kind of got lucky with him. He's been the big editor of all of the intros, everything you ever hear about this. That's all Matt Robbins' work. I can never, ever claim that. And I want to put that out there right now. But the kid is really gifted at it. I will say this, and it takes a lot of time. People don't understand. It does. It takes a lot of time. But you got to edit certain shit out. If it's a sound quality defect, you got to understand, like, you want to make it the best for you guys to listen. And this kid across from me does by far the absolute best job, and he does not get enough credit. So I want to give a shout out to my boy, Matt Robbins. Cheers, my guy. Cheers.
That fills my heart, bro.
He does. That. Nobody understands, he really does. He is the sole producer and editor of this podcast, and he knows how to do it better than anybody I know. So I got to give all the props to this kid. And by the way, I know there was one episode. This kid absolutely – we were just talking about it the other day. You killed it with the reflex of all of our past episodes. You were, like, switching stations. I mean, that was all him. That was all him. So, like, mad credit goes out to Matt Robbins. This kid, nobody understands the work that goes into editing a podcast, especially when it's, like a lot of hours of fucking audio. Like, it's just – it's a lot. So
– now that you fed my ego, yeah, that intro – it's probably my favorite intro.
Absolutely killed. And I'll tell you right now, if anybody wants to go back and listen, it is the Gin and Juice episode of our podcast. I just recently listened to it because it was so good. I had to go back and just listen to it. Please check it out and understand the craft that this guy has with editing. Everybody needs to appreciate it. So we got to always give a big shout out to our guy.
That's about 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Of straight, just
like, the intro. What is
it, 15 seconds?
Yeah. 15 to 30 seconds of audio could take an hour.
5 minutes to an hour.
To an hour just to make it sound good.
Yeah.
I mean, so people understand, like, not only Matt, because Matt's been killing it just for our purpose as a podcast, but like everybody else out there, man, like people really got to give credit to those guys on editing that audio.
I mean, it's a whole new world that people don't know about.
It is. And yeah. I've tried to, and I've gotten into it. I've learned a little bit more. I understand like the lengths and the hard work and the dedication it takes to it. So I have nothing but appreciation towards it. So going back,
you saying that,
100%, really, my guy, he's the guy that's been making everybody, you know, he's been the guy that makes us sound good. So everybody, give a shout out to Matt. But
I can't take full credit because I can't change Brooks's voice and his energy and what he brings to the table. And
we are coming at you live, loud, energetic, ready to roll. Pandemic or not, Chiefs Super Bowl or not, I'll get fucking hyped up about just about anything.
Fuck yeah! So and, you know, I'll tell you what. Now you've got me all hyped up. I'm going to put out the Ghost podcast.
Yes, absolutely.
Because some shit happened in that podcast. Like,
we're gonna have to put out the Ghost.
I told the entire story of how my truck got stolen.
Yep.
And I never posted it. So I'll post that after this. I want people to hear this before that one. Yes. So that they know exactly what we're talking about.
They will.
About my truck getting stolen by a 15-year-old girl. So
you know, it's like I said, strange times we live in. You know, it's both of us going through career changes. Our goal at the end of the day is to put out more content for you guys. Put out more content for us, really, because we enjoy doing this.
Yeah, and I know it's going to happen more when I move back to Kansas City.
Absolutely.
Which I will do. I did decide that I'm not going to put a time frame on it. I do plan on moving back. I will not stay in Colorado.
Don't ever put a time frame on it. And that's coming from me personally.
Well, here's
only because it's just, it feels right.
I know you. Yes.
When it feels right.
But I'm going to go. So I moved to Colorado on April 21st of last year, 2019. And
so he is fresh a year and maybe almost 2 months
maybe
now.
A buck or so. Yeah.
It's like a buck maybe and some change in the mountains. Yeah.
So
we love
that. I decided that I'm going to do. Every April 21st, I'm going to evaluate the previous year and think about the year coming up. And
yeah.
I'm going to decide if it's right for me to stay in Colorado. And that is just going to be 100% personal. I don't give a fuck where I'm at.
Right.
And now I've got a company that I work for. That I can work from home, and the company is actually based out of Kansas City, so I can transfer home.
Yes,
which is a beautiful
thing.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
The whole thing is why I feel so good about it. I don't have to worry about work. Before it was a big issue because I was like, if I got into something big with work and I couldn't move home and I just had to stay working to make money, I would never come home. Now I have this open opportunity to be able to come home. So knowing that I have a good spot at the company. And I have that opportunity, I'm going to evaluate every year, is it time?
Right.
And I'm going to sit down that day and just think about it.
Right.
And I know a lot of things are change every year. I'll never let a female change that idea. If I meet a girl out there, it doesn't matter. Like, I'm a great person to date, but like at the same time, I'm not going to let someone stop me from doing what I want to do.
Absolutely.
Like, but I'm gonna hope if I met someone out there, they'd maybe come with me. But
yeah.
I'm talking about hypothetical
shit.
Trust
me. You're preaching to a guy who's been trying to do it now for the last like 4 years.
So I'm thinking year to year, but like from where I am now, I'm thinking 3 to 4 years.
Right.
So I've already done one. So I'm thinking 2 to 3 more.
Right.
So we'll see, you know, who knows what's going to happen, but that's where I'm at now.
Yeah.
And I'm excited about the future. I have not been able to clearly see my future up until the last couple months, especially with this new job.
Yeah.
Like it's huge. I'm done trying to, make my own way. I mean, I found out the hard way that running your own business, is great. I fucking actually loved running my own business, but that's not the life I want.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean,
I won't,
maybe eventually.
I will never sacrifice happiness for money. I've always been that way.
Never.
I will never.
I'm a big advocate.
Shit ton of money if it's going to make me miserable. And that's why I left my business. I was making a lot of money, and I don't think I've ever told you how much I made. I'm not going to say that now. But I made a lot of money with my business, but I wasn't happy. I was working till fucking 2-3 in the morning, like just getting the books right and making sure everything was right for the next day. I mean, it was horrible, dude. I mean, I had some fun. Like,
I had some
fucking fun. Don't get me wrong. I had my days. Like, I had like work very hard and then play hard. You know?
Right.
But it just wasn't worth it for me. So I went back to the grind. And now I'm in a good place where I'm happy. I'm very happy. And so, yeah.
There's
a bright future.
It is. I mean, like with me, for anybody who's interested in what we've kind of been up to, like as far as a career change goes, like I was working in insurance and I was doing pretty much just like data fucking, you know, putting numbers into a computer was a pretty boring job considering like the personality that I know I have. And I knew I kind of needed to find another way. And I knew sales were the right thing. So I got into the freight industry, and it's the same thing, man. Like I look at most of the work that I do specifically as like the accounts that I have and like what I deal with on a daily basis. And like, we were just having this conversation.
We
want everybody.
We had a very heated conversation.
We did.
After our intermediate break,
yes.
We had such a heated conversation to a point where we're like, oh my God, like, are we up for a part three? We just like really hashed out hard about politics.
Yeah.
We don't ever talk politics.
No. It wasn't even like a political, it wasn't even like an argument.
No, it was a debate.
It was really more of like – I wouldn't even say it was a debate.
We weren't
it was
even
more of
disagreeing.
Like, it was just like an informational battle to each other about like
– Is forum the wrong word?
I think debate is probably the right word.
Forum for open opinion?
Well, I just like – you know, I like coming up from where I've grown up in the middle of both parties and like understanding like where I stand and like what I believe in and like what you believe in. You know, it's like – If you as a person cannot have healthy conversations like that, then you have no business talking about it, and you should probably start learning and researching more about what you should do. But
yeah, we had a good conversation.
But more of the story is
I almost thought that we should record it, but at the same time, it's like no one wants to talk.
No one
wants to talk politics.
Yeah.
Politics. So why would anybody want to hear?
Exactly.
Us talking
so
about
I
politics?
And we save
so
that we
like,
save that
just,
bullshit.
Let's just stop.
We save that bullshit for your ears because we know.
It's bullshit.
We would much rather talk about way more political thing, or way not even.
Nah.
We would talk about the opposite of political things to other topics than what, you know, political bullshit. So, in that being said,
so I think part three. I don't want to do any. I don't want to do anything here that's super informative. I mean, we've been informative. We've talked about serious shit. I think I just want to fucking chill.
Yeah, absolutely. I will say this.
chat.
The only
thing
that I will throw into that before we switch gears is that I've the one thing that I have learned working in the like transportation industry and understanding the way markets work and the way, you know, everything works as opposed to like what regular people on a daily basis would think is that people when truck drivers that drive 18-wheel semis, 53-foot dry vans down the road with all of your goods that you go to the store and you buy, the minute that those guys are not on the road is the biggest problem this country will ever have. And I think the biggest message for this is for people to actually really appreciate truck drivers, like specifically, but just the cycle of how of the chain supply of how we of yeah. Yeah, but not even that, like not even the economy.
Well,
just
they,
like
they create the economy.
They do, yeah, absolutely. Like, you know, I think that's the one thing I've learned about like going in and, you know, in trying to learn about like how freight works and how freight moves and what the market is that like essentially. And for every essential business, like if I see people out there bitching about how they can't get their nails done, hair done, everything did, don't matter. The fact that if you're bitching about that, and then you can't go get your little kid a fucking carton of milk at the store because A, truck drivers are on the road, that's the biggest problem we're ever going to face. So right, we should really start appreciating those guys.
Here's the problem.
And those girls, 95. Not only guys, those girls that drive those trucks. Those people are very, very important, and we need to really realize that.
Well, think about the 95% of people want their booze.
100%.
And guess where it's coming from, baby? A fucking truck.
It's coming from a truck. No matter where it is, no matter what kind of booze it does not matter. That booze is going on a truck, and that's going into some distribution center, going to your local liquor store somewhere. Mm-hmm. So when you're bitching about how you don't have your fucking Bud Light and your Budweiser and your Tito's and your whatever, your White Claw, it don't matter what it is.
It's coming from a truck.
It's coming from a truck somewhere. So everybody needs to respect those guys and understand that without them, we would be in some deep, deep, deep shit. But on a more positive note, we're here because, A, it's actually been kind of funny because Matt's been in town for, 3 weeks now?
Almost three.
Almost 3 weeks. So he's been back home for...
Do you want to cheers on our olive real quick?
Yeah. So we are actually... We're drinking some gin martinis right now.
No, we're drinking martinis.
We're drinking martinis right now.
Just now, Brooks, I requested an olive this time.
I showed Matt how to make the true martini that I grew up learning.
It really is fantastic.
So
I really want this olive so bad.
Cheers.
Cheers, my friend. Damn it, Brooks.
Fell in my mouth already. But.
Oh, it's all good.
It's good. So we will. Hopefully within the next. We're going to come up with a game plan with like our. I think our goal for this is to, you know, kind of get back into the swing of things. Like, you know, everybody knows that we've been out of the game for a while, but we want to be able to record because we enjoy it. Honestly, it kind of relieves a lot of stress when you just kind of rant about shit and people listen to you rant, you know? Like, I mean, that's how people – we're not in here to get famous by any means. Like, that's like – and we've talked about that. Like, yes, we would love a following. We'd love for people to, like, understand that – we're doing this for people to listen to what we have to say, but we're not doing this in a way that like we're trying to influence people by any means. We are here strictly because we want to express our opinion. And if people so happen to like enjoy listening to us and listening to us rant about some crazy fucking shit, then that's exactly what we're here for. And it honestly, it makes a difference, especially when you work in like high stress work environments or you're in a fucking pandemic. Or whatever the case may be, which, by the way, the world, as far as I'm concerned, the last time you heard from us, did a complete 180 on all y'all's asses. So we're here, and we're fucking just – we're chilling. We're drinking teenies, and
– we were talking about eating dog food.
Eating dog food the last time. Yeah, oh, my God.
Now look what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Oh, my
God. It becomes insane. You know, the one thing that
If you wait till I'm fucking 65 and 70 years old.
Yeah.
And just look back on this shit.
You know, it's like those people you see that like, oh, I survived World War One, World War Two.
Right now we're like, I didn't get the corona.
What they say though, I saw one dude, I'm not kidding. There was one girl I saw, it was like on Good Morning America, because we always have that shit playing at work in the mornings, and like so she literally survived the Holocaust. She survived like polio. Oh, polio. She,
I know who you're talking about.
Some like 4 or 5 crazy breakout diseases.
She has that documentary.
And she's right? still alive. And she is completely healthy. And she's like 101 years old. Like, people need to strive to be like that girl. That's all I'm saying. Like, that lady is an inspiration. Not fuck all the celebrities out there that are telling you to stay inside. And if you don't own a mansion, you have every right to tell them to go fuck themselves.
Can I try?
Yes. That?
Have you been watching, like, just Ellen, for an example, like, recording her show from her house?
Yeah, so it's like, that's a great point. Continue, well, but yes, continue.
It's
but
not
like,
going where you think it's going.
Well, no, I mean, maybe, but continue.
Jimmy Fallon's a great example of...
Jimmy, okay... You like Jimmy Fallon, like, just off the bat?
I mean, yeah, he's funny.
Okay.
But the quality that goes into those shows, you do not realize until they're at home recording it from their house.
Right. And we are now learning that.
And you're like, this fucking sucks.
Right. So let me ask you this. Since we're on the topic of this, if you were just, like, turn on... like a national news, like channel. It doesn't matter. Like not like local, and see like the reporters that are like in your like they're like they're literally like talking like you know they're doing their interview like they're like at like the White House. Let's just like a like just as a example, they have masks on. Which, by the way, I actually kind of want to get into that real quick because I want to know like how often you wear a mask and shit and like. Where we're at with that, but like you turn on like MSNBC or like Good Morning America or whatever, and like they like go to somebody and they're like wearing a mask and they're talking, but like you hear them, but you just like just their face, like you can't see them talking. Is that not weird to you?
So, no. Because I don't watch the big channels.
Right.
But picturing it in my head, it's a little odd. I mean, just because it's different.
Right.
But the fact that I am a little drunk skewed my train of thought.
So, like, if you were going to be...
Bring me back.
Let's just, like, what is your, like, okay. So if we're talking about watching, if like, let's just say you turn on the TV at 9 o'clock in the morning, and you're like, all right, like, you know, it's Good Morning America, or it's whatever kind of, like, major news channel, and you're, like, seeing these people that are interviewing from, like, a remote area, and they're all wearing masks. Like, what is your first impression? Like, you're like, you don't see their mouth talking. You know what? Actually, this brings up a great point.
I think I don't understand.
Listen. You know what I have really a lot of appreciation for now?
Personal hygiene?
No.
Okay, what?
Sign language. Sign language speakers who, like, whenever, like, the governor of New York... Cuomo or whoever, they always have their daily, like whenever anybody, any state, the president, doesn't matter what it is, comes out and says, like, we're having a, like, they're having a press conference about the coronavirus, right? And they have a sign language interpreter who's there now because this involves everybody. Like, it doesn't, not that it didn't before, but this is the first time in my life where I'm seeing every single news channel that's coming out with, like, or not news channel, but like with like any state governed like speaker that's coming out and saying you know, we need to, like, they're talking about it, and they have sign language interpreters. Every single one. Is that news to you? Those people are also American citizens, so, like, they need to know, too. Like, if they don't, you know what I mean?
You throw me so far off. What you're talking about.
What do you mean?
I don't know where that came from. I just don't understand.
Okay. Well,
there's no correlation in my mind. Is it really me right now?
No. I'm asking if you've ever seen that before.
I mean, yes, I've seen it.
I just think that's like,
I understand the correlation.
I mean, the correlation to me would be like, we've come to a point now where like every single person, no matter disability or not, really needs to know what's going on.
But where does that correlate with newscasters wearing masks? I don't.
Well,
understand.
I guess I went a little bit left field with that, but it's just like they're standing outside of the White House and they're wearing like a mask, and you're just like, you can hear them like their audio, but like you can't see their mouth or their face. Isn't that kind of weird to you?
I mean, just like as like a present day thing, yeah, it's weird and different.
Yeah, but I mean, like, yeah, it's different.
So,
I guess,
like, what you're trying
what
to say
for.
Is like, okay, so I understand. So, like, I was standing in line at Home Depot like a month ago, and I was wearing my mask, and everyone was standing 6 feet apart, and they won't let you in.
Well, so that was the other question, but continue.
And they won't let you in until, like, someone else walks out. I'm like, all right, you're good. You can walk in. A certain amount of people that can go in. And I'm sitting here just in line looking at everybody in line waiting, not moving with their masks. And I was like, I can just see this in a history book. In a history book.
Excuse me.
And
no Rona. No Rona.
I can see this in a history book, in a photo, and it's black and white, and there's a mask, and that's called coronavirus, the coronavirus. And I'm like, this is fucking nuts. We're living history.
Yeah, I mean, I think it would be a different situation if we didn't, like, I don't know. I think that's a very good point, but we're dealing with something that's like very, like, I don't think people would ever imagine this until it hit. You know what I mean? Does that make sense? I guess
no. I mean, no one ever expected this shit.
No,
I really was hoping I'd be at a bar on fucking May 26th.
Right.
2020.
I definitely miss bars. It's funny because you go into restaurants now in Kansas City and like everything's open restaurant wise, but you can't sit at a bar top.
It's bullshit.
It's weird. It's weird.
It's not bullshit, but it's weird. Yeah, you're right.
So, I mean.
But we're going down history right now.
We are.
It's crazy. And you know what? Let's ride this shit out and drink our martinis.
Absolutely. We love every single person. We're trying to bring the bar to you. So we will be hopefully doing more episodes soon. We appreciate everybody that came and listened to this one, our three-part little like mini series that we did.
It's getting late, and I wish we could do a fourth.
I know.
It's getting so late. And I have to go to Denver on Saturday.
Yeah.
Which is like 3 days away.
So
but we
love you all. Thank you so much for listening to two guys walk into a bar. We're gonna keep rolling this because this shit is not dying. I mean, like,
no, it'll never die.
We're never going to let it die.
It'll slow. We
want people, but like we always say in every episode, we want feedback. We want people to understand and like learn a little bit. If they have some sort of opinion they want to talk about and they want us to talk about, please let us know. We're always here. Me and Matt call each other all the time. We talk about shit all the time. So like just little things make the world go around and people need to start understanding that. So, by me, on behalf of me, and on behalf of Matt, we appreciate you listening. This is two guys walking to a bar.
We will see you next time.
And we will see you next time.
In the next episode, I'll tell you guys why I got on my roof and got naked.
Yep.
Good night. One sip of martini before we get started.
You know what I thought you were inside?
What?
Can I get a hoya?
Do you want me to do it? Ready? Can I get a hoya?
Hoya! And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. Part two of the more than delayed return of two guys walking to a bar. And again, people, I'm so sorry. We apologize. You know, as everybody knows and everybody witnesses, life takes left and right turns, and sometimes you get busy as shit, and sometimes you have a best friend that lives, you know, 1,000 miles away. So we're going to walk right back into this
life
shit.
Life has taken a little bit of priority, but and guess what? This is priority now, 100%, baby.
100%. And we got our guy, Matt Robbins, right across from me here. We are refilled on martinis, so we're really good to go. As everybody's obviously aware, life has taken a
crazy turn.
There's even no degrees to this anymore.
Dude, I mean, everyone's so like, I mean, we're coming into this podcast being like, this is nuts, but everybody knows this is fucking
nuts.
This is fucking nuts. I want to kill myself being stuck at home.
What I want to say, first and foremost, all I want to say is that if anybody out there who's listening to us now thinks that this virus came from a fucking poor sap eating a bat in China, you got to reprioritize your thinking.
Okay, here, you know what? You're telling me the same shit because I need you to elaborate just a little bit. I don't want to talk about – Brooks and I both, we don't want to talk about coronavirus very long.
No, but we want to reiterate
this. This is one of those little things. We're going to talk about
this
for like
change everybody's
couple
life
minutes,
for forever.
And then we're just going to go into our regular lives. But I need to know what – please educate me what you know that I don't know because that's still all I've heard.
Well – here's the thing. When this virus became something that was at least somewhat in the news, like I remember hearing the first time I ever heard about it was like right before Thanksgiving. And I remember reading an article online about how China had this crazy outbreak of coronavirus. And this was before they even went on lockdown. They were just having issues. They were having all these just outbreaks, cases, left and right, and then eventually they went, like, I mean, you know, fast forward a month and a half, and they were on lockdown. I mean, like, this was like, but I remember thinking to myself, I'm like, man, like, that's fucking insane. Like, what is happening? I gotta do more research on this. What is the coronavirus? Why is it what it is? When I first read it, I thought it was just like a flu. Like everybody else, you know, like nobody really did research until they realized that it was like a respiratory thing. And then that became a whole different ordeal because of the respiratory diseases that are already out there. So my thing was I read it and then I heard, I was like, wow, like their reasoning for it was that it came from an animal. Like they didn't specify really what animal it was right away, but they said it was like contracted by an animal, and then it just absolutely went berserk. So, long story short, heard it in December, in February, I'm sorry, excuse me, Thanksgiving, like right before Thanksgiving, and I didn't really know what to think, but I saw it, and I said, okay, didn't much think about it, and then you fast forward, what? It broke out, quote-unquote, in March, but this shit was, first of all, I want everybody to understand that people know other people in this country that had this virus in December. December, okay? December. This shit was in the United States of America before the outbreak took by months. 5 months, okay? Because there's many different people that I know, that I've read about, that people have talked about, that have had the same exact symptoms, and also that have tested positive for it in certain states, Florida, fucking Florida. But I'm just saying, Florida did actually have a handful of cases positive before Christmas that they just didn't ever disclose. That's a fact. You can go look that up right now. That is a fact. And they did not disclose. Like, they kept that, or they did disclose it, they kept it very secret from the public, that there were people that were exposed and had tested positive for coronavirus.
You said Florida?
Florida. The one state, what is the one state that we talk the most shit on in this show? Florida. Does that not fucking grind your gears or what? All right. So, moral of the story, I don't, listen, we're disregarding the fact that we all know Florida is just a piece of shit, but that happened. And you know what? The effects, man, the effects of everything that has happened now. Like, I just, like, Matt, let me ask you a question. Do you think it's really hard to believe that a virus can just, like when everything started taking place was what? Beginning of March? It's when everything just really hit the fan to the people. It was just like, boom, 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 all these countries, Italy, France, Spain, everyone that was just really struggling with it, right? Like, we were keeping a close eye on it. And then out of nowhere, it was just boom, the U.S., and then it just went rapid. Right?
No, I think it's still a sheep effect.
You still think it was what?
I think it's a sheep effect.
Well,
fuck, America shut down? All right, we got to go.
But I just – here's my thing.
It's not funny.
There's just –
I apologize.
There's a lot of suspect evidence out there about this whole thing. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm not. Like, it's just – if you're trying to convince me that this whole thing started from a fucking bat, you're insane. You're insane. By the way – viruses are not supposed to be able to do what this virus is doing if it did not come from some sort of lab. I'm sorry. It's just – it's facts. It's absolute science. And if anybody's out there who disagrees with me, that's fine. And maybe you're like some sort of religious or shit. But I go by what's proven. I go by what's factual. I go by what is science. And if you don't believe the science, then we just don't have an argument to talk about. I'm sorry. That's just the bottom line. And if other people out there disagree with me on that – fucking pray or something. I don't know. I go by what's actually proven.
We won't go into it because I know that everybody is like so done with coronavirus. And
everybody's so done with it, including myself.
And I'm not going to get into it. I'm not even going to share my opinion on it. But what I am going to do is ask you what we're going to get off of actually coronavirus. We're going to get into
lifestyle,
quarantine,
yes.
Lifestyle.
Yes.
There's a lot of crazy shit going around, but you personally, what have you been doing in quarantine that has maybe changed your life? Or because I know there's things about me that like I'm learning about myself in quarantine.
Absolutely.
And but what maybe let's just start with this. What's one thing in quarantine that you've done that you're not exactly proud of?
It's a really tough question. I would say, me personally, I, as shitty as it sounds, I've used it as an excuse to not do shit when the opportunity is presented to me. And that's actually better than a lot of people.
Let me
like kind of back myself up a little bit. Before all this started, both of us actually started new jobs. So we both actually took completely different career path changes on what we're doing with life.
Yes.
So, you know, for me, in the career path I took, I'm in the transportation industry. You know, I've actually, this hasn't really affected me in like getting laid off kind of way. I'm very fortunate for that. And I don't ever bitch about working. I don't ever bitch about having to go to work. I understand that there's 25%, a fourth of the country right now is unemployed. And it's terrible. So I don't ever bitch about that. But I will say that taking that career change from that point, I've been very, very busy. I've kept myself busy. I might be a little different than like majority of people out there that are suffering from, not working and like, what are they supposed to do with their spare time and all this and that. So it's hard to say, like, I try to keep myself busy and work has helped with that. But like, even, you know, I will say this, life has not changed for me much. Other than being able, like, the social aspect of life. That would be my biggest thing. And that's not even a
completely different,
you know what I mean?
Experience.
Yeah, and Matt has a little bit of a different experience. and he also took a career change. But with that being said, it is, everybody just kind of has some shit that happens differently. I mean, you know, it's just – and I would love – and y'all are going to hear –
the difference that Matt Robbins has been going through in the world.
Man, I mean, I'm talking like black and white shit at this point. I mean, I've been. I mean, Brooks. I mean, I'm pretty sure there's still stuff you don't know. I mean, we talk a lot of time. This is a lot for the actual listeners, but there's still stuff you don't know. I mean, everyone knows that, you know, I worked construction, you know, since I was 18, 19 years old.
Yep.
I've done every field.
He's gone to a strip club on a Tuesday in Colorado. We've all heard that story.
Yeah, I did.
All because of construction.
And it's never worked out for me. According to my plan, I've always thought, you know, I had this idea and I got to work from the ground up. And then I kept restarting in different places, but I kept getting mixed up with the wrong people. And that's not their fault. That is my fault. 100% my fault, because I really do try to see the good in people.
Right.
And when someone has told me something and promised me something, I want to think that they're going to be good for their word. And it took me 7-8 years to realize that not everyone, but a lot of people are full of shit. And that's where in my last job, when I was doing windows, and I got a lot of false promises. And I got mixed up with this real bad dude, and I didn't know it. It was like my best friend out in Colorado for a year. And because this now has just been over a year that I lived in Colorado. The dude is a fucking psychopath. And on top of that, I mean, he was treating me unfairly financially, which I found out because in this case, I was much smarter than him to be able to do my own research and move around him and get with the contractors we were working with and really find out what we were making. And it was appalling. So I ended up right before we moved into quarantine, I started looking for career change. And I was like, I'm done with construction. I don't want to do it anymore. I got everything out of it. I've done every field. This is literally the last field that I wanted to learn. So like, I actually got everything I wanted out of it, but with no money.
Right.
But
you got the experience.
I got all the experience that I need because my goal was to be able to eventually buy a home and flip it and make money and then do it again, you know? And that's still my goal. And I have achieved that through a lot of bullshit. And this guy eventually, you know, like, I'm not going to go into huge detail. I've already told Brooks, I'm not going to tell all of you, but he ended up getting into a lot of trouble with the law after I'd gotten out. And he ended up, once I told him I was leaving, he said, I'm going to give you till the end of April. And he actually just ended up firing me after a couple weeks because coronavirus hit. So I was unemployed for a month and a half. Stayed at home, did nothing. And it was here. Now we're all caught up. You know, that was my lead up to my quarantine experience. So when I was in quarantine, I kind of touched back on music. I got back into my music a little bit and I realized I'm not where I used to be, but come time, I'll get back to it.
Time tells.
But I wasn't working out. I was kind of where Brooks was at, you know, where you were at with, like, I'm using it as an excuse to just fuck off, mm-hmm. you know, almost. But after about 3 weeks, I was like, I'm so fucking bored. I'm so not looking forward to retirement. I don't think I can retire. Like, I can't, like, when 60, 65 hits, like, now I have an idea of what I'm going to do when I retire. That's what I'm learning right now.
Yeah.
Is that
what you want to do in your
I'm not
going
to be, because you think, I gained like 25 pounds, Brooks. Dude, I'm not even kidding. Before I was 190 pounds of, like, I didn't have much fat on.
So everybody do the math real quick.
He actually doesn't even look like that either, because that's not true.
I'm hiding it well.
You're right, but I mean, you know, in the grand scheme of things, you know, what are we really talking about?
I mean, we're talking about this whole base area around the core.
Yeah,
like I carry a lot
of
weight around
the booze.
I carry
it
in my back.
Booze pouch.
Yeah, well, I'm not gaining it a lot here.
Right.
I gain a lot of my weight in my love handles in my back.
Right.
And I wear loose shit because I don't want people to see it.
Well, yes.
And so I was 190 pounds before quarantine. And I use the excuse. I'm like, you know, I'm going to fuck off. I don't care. Like, I'm going to eat what I want and do whatever. And I started doing the quarantine beer chugs. And I was doing beer chugs every day. And I was like, this is so fucking stupid. And then I'm now 215 pounds.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my God. And like now I just feel like shit all the time.
You know what? Can I say this real quick?
Mm-hmm.
Just because it just pissed me off so much especially when all this shit started. You know, the stay at home order. And I know for a fact that went into effect for almost all 50 states. It had to have at least the lower 48, you know. But I would see like all these celebrities that would come out and they were just like, please, everybody, like, stay inside, like, you know, be safe. Oh, I'm fucking sorry. I'm sorry I don't have a goddamn pool in my backyard. I'm sorry I don't live in a fucking $4 million mansion and I don't have a fucking billiards table. I don't have 90 rooms in my house. Like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry I live on East Side Kansas City in the fucking hood. I'm so sorry that I have to, like, stay confined with my 925 square foot house. I'm sorry. And if you want to bitch at people about fucking staying inside because they've done that.
Pay my fucking bills.
They've done that for as long as they physically and mentally could stay inside. And you want to bitch about people just doing what they have to do because they can't stay inside their multi-million dollar mansion? Fuck off. That's all I'm saying. That's a personal opinion.
Fuck the celebrity.
That's a personal opinion. That is a little bit of a rage opinion, and I apologize.
But it's true.
But, like, you can't – like, that was the one pet peeve I had in mind of just listening to all these people who, by the way, have, like, total influence on so many people. And if that's the case – and a lot of these people, not only are they influent, like, are these people that are followers of these people that, like, almost live their lives and try their best to be like these people. They're going to tell you to try to do that shit. And, like, they just – it's just, like – all those people came from the same shit we did eventually, right?
Yeah, they gotta have a. I don't understand how they don't see.
Like the fact that they just don't see it, that they can't go in their spa in their basement, they can't go swim with their kids in their backyard pool that is clean every day.
Here's a fact.
It's just bullshit, man. I'm sorry, but like, that's my one problem, and I'm sorry, I'm gonna rant about this just for a second. My one problem with people who came from nothing and have everything. Still can't figure out the fucking social connect because they've experienced both things. How could they not figure out how to, like, influence people the way that they knew how to come up?
Yeah.
Why is that such a
fucking
problem?
All of those people should know, if they have any, like, sense of intelligence, that I want to say this. And I'm like, I could be wrong about the statistic, but it's somewhere between 80%. And I think it's like 70, I think it's anywhere between 70 and 80% of the country live paycheck to paycheck, dude.
100%. Like, this is not like, I mean, those people are in the upper 1%.
Yes. Yes.
So
and
like,
we're talking
everybody has
70
to, remember
to 80%.
That wealth becomes, not only does it become like an echelon of society, because obviously it is, but like the majority, like that's the biggest thing we were talking about in part one when it comes out to voting, right? Well, who is going to be the people, like who do people really need their vote? It's people who are working class, people who are not poor. They're not, there's also a case of they're not like middle class, like maybe they're making decent money, but they're not rich. Like, they still have to budget. Like, they don't have just fucking money to go blow for no reason at all. They're not going to buy a their own private jet and go fly to fucking Maui because the coronavirus is here. They're going to go isolate themselves on a goddamn luxury island. I mean, like, the fact about it is that it's funny to me that I see these people who have so much influence on the rest of this, particularly the United States, that try to, like their mechanism of socializing and, like, getting some sort of, like, social comprehension and a point across to people is to try to live like they do. And I know that's, like, a broad thing to say, because I'm not saying, like, completely, because we all know that they have money and we don't. But it's just, like, the lifestyle. The lifestyle is the one thing. It's like, yeah, man, really easy for you to fucking say. I live in a fucking, like, think about,
yeah, they've
perfect
got, like,
example.
Fucking,
listen,
like,
to this. Think about the people, shout out to, and I fucking hate New York City, but shout out to all the people in New York City who is going through this shit the most, the worst part of the country, every single day, that are confined to their, like, 500 square foot apartment that they're paying outrageous amounts of money for, that they can't leave. They can't even fuck, like, unless they go to the store. Like, those people
are...
You said
5,000.
I said, oh, I'm sorry, 500. 500 square foot apartment.
There you go.
One bed, like, studio apartment. One bedroom apartment if you make a little bit of money. And that you can't fucking leave. You're confined to, like, six walls your whole time there. And you know what? Like I said, I the people of New York have always rubbed me the wrong way. But at the same time, I always feel like they always deal with some terrible shit because of A, how many people live in that city, and B, when it's something like this happens, where a pandemic happens, where you literally are ordered to stay at your house unless you have to go out to the grocery store, and you're ordered to stay there for months and not lose your mind. Can you imagine? Like, I will say this, like, I am very fortunate enough to at least have a house with a backyard and a screened-in porch in Waldo, in Waldo, Kansas City, Missouri, where I can have a dog and let him out and I can at least enjoy myself outside. Like, some of these people are, like, very cooped up and they don't have any other choice. They're laid off, they're cooped up, and, like, what the fuck else are they supposed to do? Like, that would be so brutal. That would be the most brutal thing I could think of. Like,
imagine the people on the cruise ships.
Well, first of all,
they couldn't leave for months. You know what? The problem is with cruise ships.
Well, the cruise ships are fucked up.
Well, what people don't understand about cruise ships, and this is fucking real, that there is a circulatory
system. When they decided to isolate those people on a cruise ship at sea before even taking the land, like, who knows how long it was? A couple of days at least, like, when people were like, oh, we're just going to, like, you know, isolate people and we're going to fucking quarantine them on a cruise ship. That had to, like, I don't really comprehend that because we're smart, right? You and me, other people, we're smart enough to understand, like, air circulation. Experts that thought that was a good idea. That is
fucking,
like,
stupid.
That is, like, just asking for people to get fucking sick.
So here's what I was trying to say. Yes, that's all true. Here's the thing. So they isolate everybody to their rooms on their cruise ships. The air circulates from room to room. If one person has it, by the end of 3 weeks,
everybody has it, and you'd be an idiot if not.
There's like 70% of people that have at least been exposed to it.
I can't even believe that that was a fucking
quote
unquote good idea.
And then after 3 weeks, they let everybody go.
But here's the thing, Matt. You couldn't have even at least put them on land and set up a quarantine station where they got the fuck out, where they went to tents. And they were at least able to get tested and understand where their help was. Like, that is so bizarre to me, man. Like,
we're not experts.
We're not experts.
Like, what the fuck?
But, like, it's the same difference as being in, like three rooms that somehow all connected, right? And then let's just say there's three people and one person got really, really sick. But those other two people weren't allowed to leave. And, oh, by the way, everything was connected by the same air circulation vent. Like, the vent went from one room to the second room to the third room and then back to the first room. As far as I'm concerned, where the fuck is that going if it's not going in everybody else's room?
Exactly.
So, you're telling me, I mean, that is almost, I mean, that's just the most, it just blows my mind, man. Like,
so
I think, first of all.
I'm not laughing because I think coronavirus is funny. I'm very serious about it. I'm laughing at the stupidity of fucking.
The fact that we thought that was a good idea. But like, dude, but like the other thing that's actually concerning to me is like, there were like, what, like if you're on a cruise ship, where do you go when you dock? You go to a port, right?
Yeah.
You get off a port. It's very easy to evacuate a portion of a port to let people on board and off board, right? So if you're going to let people sit out there for days, weeks, and not let them at least get off the fucking boat and, like, get tested, like, set up a court, like, every single hospital in this country has a quarantine spot in their hospital. And guess what? You can't even go inside the hospital. You pull up to that specific part, you get tested, and depending on the results, you can go inside or you can't. Simple. Simple fucking bullshit.
Yeah,
so why were those people allowed to get off the boat, go to A, B, C, D, E, and F, because I guarantee you whatever port they were getting off of was that large, if not larger, than to maybe even do an A, B, C, D, E, F, D, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, X, T, U, Z, W, X, Y, and Z. Like, I mean, come on.
Like, there's money for it.
But, like,
they paid a lot of people $1,200 last month. There's money for
it. I get
it.
That, but at the same time,
I'm saying there's money to do what you're talking about.
100%.
Why didn't it happen?
But if we want to get real into it, then why are, yes, the unemployment, the stimulus package, yes, yes, yes. Like,
I think it's great.
That's a whole different, yes, I think one time was great. And I'm not going to get into that completely because of other situations. And maybe I can, like, touch on it in a second. But, like, just the normal fact that those people were on a boat and weren't able to, like, they, like, did not allow them to get off just to even get tested on it. And they had every opportunity to. Like, they could have easily done that at no cost other than the testing. And just set up tents and get those people. They could have social distanced them all to at least get off the boat 6 feet at a fucking time and go and get tested. And then, like, those people alone I feel so much more sorry for than anybody else who just was an idiot and didn't want to go out to the fucking, like, oh, I'm sorry, like, I was at Osage Beach, the Lake of the Ozarks, which, by the way,
let's,
like, I mean,
so
I'm just saying, like, people just, like,
so
no, doesn't
stupid.
Think it affects them until it affects them, right? So, and the other thing I want to touch on real quick is, like, going back to what we were just saying, the stimulus package was great. Like, I 100% agree. The stimulus package was great for the fact that, like, people who worked in restaurant industries that worked their lives on tips and worked on restaurants that were very close quarters, whatever. I just want to say that, like, that idea was great, but the fact of doing another one is a huge issue. And I want to get into that on part three because we're doing a part three.
We're doing
because
a part
we love
three.
Love you all.
And we're not going to talk about coronavirus
no,
at all.
We're going to start it with, like, a brief 5 minute point, and then we are.
So that
done.
We can make another martini.
Exactly. So thank you all. We love you.
Let's
and we
come
are coming
right
back.
Back,
we are coming
baby.
Back, baby.
What to do? All right. Give me your best Russian. Your best Russian impression.
That's really tough for some reason. Can I do something other than Russian?
I kind of want to hear Russian, but you
I don't really remember. This is kind of bad.
You don't remember what Russian sounds like?
Dude, my mind is literally blanking on what a Russian person sounds like.
Imagine something that someone spoke, like, or they spoke Russian in Taken. Good luck. Remember?
Yeah. But every time I want to like come up with some sort of accent, my mind immediately flips to like a Middle Eastern accent because of fucking the chef.
Okay, give me that accent.
Let's see. The fuck do you mean? That's not even, that's so terrible.
Oh. Just imagine the shit that Rotip says on a daily basis, and you know he does it all the time.
All the time. I honest to God, think I'm too white.
I'm not too white.
I think I'm too white.
But Russians are white.
I'm white English Saxon.
How about, I hate cats.
I hate cats.
Cats are the worst of the...
Cats are the worst.
Cats are the worst of the fairy creatures.
I think they're fucking just the worst of everything.
It is work. It wasn't bad.
It needs work.
I hate the coffee.
Coffee is the worst. See, because my brain goes from like one accent of the world regionally to like 50 at the same time, and they try to merge.
I understand that because I'll be trying to speak in an English accent, and then all of a sudden I'll be speaking in Australian.
Yeah, and then you start speaking in Australian, and then everybody thinks that you're a fucking idiot. But then you start switch over to Irish, and you're like, I'm not very fond of you either. And I'm like, I agree. And he's like, somebody fucking get me a point here.
You're not very bad at your...
You're not very bad.
Your Irish.
My Irish accent is not very bad. I almost say that myself.
That's probably your best out of the ones that you've shown
100%. But I will say this about the Irish. I actually can't ever understand what they're saying.
That's true.
They talk so fast. Shout out to my boy Rory, because I know you're recording this right now. Shout out to my boy Rory, who's out there fucking in Australia, ironically enough. But
he's down under.
When I first met that kid, he was one of the, when I was in high school, we did like a little, it was called Children for Peace, which is actually a pretty cool program, because if people out there who aren't familiar with Northern Ireland, is to be more specific, because they have a really bad issue with it's like a feud. It's like it's the same difference as the Palestinians and the Jews, as opposed to the Catholics and the Protestants. It's a huge holy war. And this program that we partook in high school was a mings of, it's called Children for Peace. So we would bring kids from both sides of Protestants and Catholics. We brought them all over to the U.S. and they all had host families, but we were all in a group. They all got to mingle and kind of understand that like it just was bullshit and you guys need to fuck over it, essentially, at the end of the day. We're all human beings. Like, don't let this deter the other. So Rory, who I met, was a Catholic old boy. Great guy. Still talk to him.
Oh, shit. I met Rory.
You met Rory. Like me. Yeah, because he said, I'm not very fond of you either. Exactly. I remember that's basically.
He said some shit to me and I was like, you know, I'm not sure I like you. Not very fond of you.
And that's exactly what he said. He looked at you and he goes, well, I'm not very fond of you either.
To this day, it's a good dude.
Yeah. Good dude. Amazing. So it is weird how everything kind of works over there. But with that being said, that whole program was actually a pretty cool deal because of the concept of bringing two different people. It is really funny because they're not different by any means. It's like some. It's very similar to like if Kansas City were to be completely split up religiously, but everybody still lived in the same city. Like, can you imagine how that would go? It would, because everybody here is pretty like into the same shit. You know what I mean? Like, there's not a whole lot of religious dividend.
There's not much.
Like, enough to start a war.
No.
You know what I mean?
Controversy to,
right.
Over religion.
No.
It's really race around here.
It is.
People get.
And that's the unfortunate part.
Which is fucked up because, dude, I got some heated on some shit earlier today. And I typically, you know, like the police brutality shit, like you see it all the time.
Are you talking about the shit in Minnesota?
Yeah. Because I see it all the fucking time.
It's terrible.
And I never comment on the shit I see on Facebook, Instagram, or the fuck, wherever it is. And that one just like hit me in my feelers. Like I was just laying on my bed after work. I'm just going through my phone and I see it. And I saw it on Instagram first over Jerry News. You do Jerry News?
Yeah. I mean, I saw it all over the news.
And they're like all about it. And then like I go to Facebook and I actually see the video.
Yeah. Well, that's the scary part.
So mad.
Well, so let me, this is what bothers me the most. And somebody actually like that was in the comments. I was like, which I shouldn't be doing is reading comments, but someone made a really good point and they were like, man, they know it's 2020. They know they're being videotaped.
They know now. Like, what's your fucking, what's like, the problem there is, now?
They,
like,
they, not only
on.
Are people videotaping them, but they have fucking video cameras on their bodies and it still happens.
Dude, I can't believe it anymore.
It's,
and it's ruined. It literally ruins. I know there's good cops out there. I know.
Yeah, 100%. Know it. You can't, but that's the problem is people
like,
want to generalize.
Me, it makes me want to think if you're a good cop, how good of a cop are you? Because you know this is going on and you're not stopping it yourself. If it's going on around you, like, give me a fucking break.
Right.
Dude. I'm so fucking mad about that video. I really am. I commented. And I was like, these people, I can't remember what I said. I was like, these people are a piece of shit. Minnesota cops are all fucking corrupt. They stole a wallet out of my car.
You know, it's
because
funny.
Because that's true. Do you remember when I told you
I
that?
I do remember that. Yes.
That's fucking bullshit, dude.
You know, it's
fucking
the other,
about
the
it.
Other crazy part about it is that they are, that this isn't the first time with the Minnesota Police Department that something fucked up like this has happened. Like, do you remember that video that went viral like maybe 2 or 3 years ago of the dude who got, so there was like a guy in a car. It was a guy and his girlfriend or his wife or something. And then their kid in the back seat and the cops shot him through the window.
Yes.
That was in Minneapolis.
Minnesota?
Yeah. That was in Minneapolis.
It's fucking exactly.
So it's like,
they're all fucking
so
pieces of
my
shit.
My thing is like, going back to what you said, when we talk about there's good cops, and then there's cops that either just don't give a fuck, or there's cops that are like truly racist or like whatever. There's a lot of dynamics that can play into it. Regardless of it, you would hope, and I say that with a fucking grain of salt, but you would hope that every cop has a partner, especially when you're on patrol.
I mean, like, you saw that video personally.
Right. Both those dudes just sat there like they just didn't give a fuck. Like,
just waiting.
Right.
I mean, people are yelling at him, dude.
But
like,
but what is the what comes? What is it coming down to now? Is there more corruptness than there is good cops, or is there people that truly know this is the wrong way to go about anything, and their job's at stake if they speak out? It's like being a whistleblower.
Well, here's the other thing. You're right. All people see is bad publicity.
Well, that's all the media is essentially. Is
true.
Bad publicity.
All we see is the bad publicity.
Which,
and
yes, go ahead.
And I succumb to it because I can get this fucking mad about a video and think negatively about the entire department in the fucking country.
100%. But how dangerous is that?
That's dangerous as fuck. And that's why cops are being gunned down.
That's also why there's never going to be a resolution between communities that truly need proper policing.
Social media fucks it all up.
It does.
It really
but
does.
Not only, but social media comes after the fact. Without terrible actions of certain police officers, there wouldn't be a story. So who, it's like the chicken and the egg.
Mm-hmm.
What comes first, right? I would like to believe that bad policing comes first and that's how everything gets started. So in the beginning of it,
well, that's true.
I mean, it's a fact.
True.
It's a fact. So in this particular circumstance, like, or you can make any general rationalization of any community that suffers from poverty or suffers from high crime rates. It doesn't matter what it is. The bottom line is that you're never going to make a difference unless that specific community has trust in the police officers that constantly patrol the area. And for the most part, it never fucking works out because people don't trust anybody because they're always trying to fuck people.
Think about this. All right. It doesn't only come from just departments. It doesn't come from police telling police what to do. It's parenting.
Right.
And then I'm assuming now Minnesota is a very racist community because think about this. All right. I have two children. I'm just going to say two boys, just for the sake of the example.
Okay.
I have one boy who I tell nothing about color and race. And he has a little black friend. And they have a great time, run off together. His parents aren't involved in any opinions that they're same as me.
Okay.
And then I go to my other son and he's hanging out with a black kid, a black boy, whatever. And I say, that's wrong. And I start saying things about the actual race of the child. And then the child grows up and starts getting that stuff in his head.
Right.
And that's fucking it. So how do you think this kid and this kid are going to grow up?
Well, but you make an example of not only just one community, but like majority of the racism that partakes in this country on a daily basis. Like,
true.
Because, you know, you can change laws, you can do everything you can. You can protest, you can do whatever that you physically can. That's legal in your constitutional right to do.
I don't think it's gonna
but it anything. All comes down to how you raise your kids.
It really does. And because the fact that like when I was growing up, my parents didn't have a racist, what am I trying to say? They didn't have any
racist ideology or anything.
They did nothing like that.
Of course not.
And like, cause there was some like black kids down the block that, you know, from like 5 to 15, I was hanging out with these kids and I didn't see a race like that.
Yeah.
Like I obviously knew they were of color. I'm not stupid.
Right.
But kids see that, but no one's feeding me bullshit that they have, there's any idea of them that's wrong.
And I will say this.
And then it started, you know, coming clear that this is a thing that people deal with when I started getting older.
Regularly.
And then it starts getting me heat. I'm like, what the fuck's wrong? And it's going to happen for probably another 200 years.
I don't think so.
I do. And I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Because we're going to be around for the next, let's say, just average 60 years.
Right.
We're 25, 26 years old. I'm turning 27 next week.
A.
But there's people my age who have grown up with their parents telling them or just saying things about other races that are bad. And they've succumbed to it.
Right.
And not me, not you, just it. I know it's happening because there's been people around me and I won't 100%. Say anything.
I definitely, yes.
And so we know now that those people who have succumbed to it that are our age, who believe it, are going to tell their kids. And for the next 60 years, those kids are going to be believing it. And then they're going to tell their kids about it.
Right.
And then there's going to be the maybe 50% or 60, 70% of those kids who see society as a whole and disagree with their parents.
Right.
So there's a large majority of it that's going to die.
Right.
Because look at, you know, the 50s and 60s to now, where it was and where it's now.
Right.
It's completely different. And absolutely. Everyone's like, that shit's bad. That's right. Fucking bad. But there's still that majority of people.
And I also don't
think so many people that still believe it, that it's going to go on for another generation or two until it squashes. I do believe it's going to squash, but we'll never see it in our lifetime, and our kids will never see it in their lifetime. And maybe our grandkids may start seeing a change in it.
I think the biggest thing with any of this, especially like when you want to talk about like, how does a change start? I would like to think that it's generational as it is, but with certain situations like growing up in a household that you were just taught the wrong thing, like in everybody in, I don't want to speak on everybody because everybody is, I mean, everybody has a right to raise their kids the way they think they do, but at the same time,
but
there's moral difference. Yeah, but they don't, right? So
for instance, like where we are, 26, 27 year old adults who sit here, and we were lucky enough to have parents that raised us the right way, to understand that this is bullshit, to understand why shit happened, and to understand how terrible it was that shit happened, and why we treat certain people the way, not like us specifically, but like why people are still treated the way they are for absolutely no reason at all. I'm a full believer that that's always a generational thing, right? With the way the world is right now, I think that with the where we're at in our lifetime, I mean, think about it, like 26, 27 years. So we are now in the prime of what our ancestors, like being 30 is, I would like to consider your prime years. I feel like a lot of people would agree with me.
Everyone says 20. I've heard that 27 is the year.
I think
is the best
year. I would say this, 27 to 38 are like your prime years. Like as far as,
so the decade,
but
from,
you know, that's a really, it's a really hard argument to make, because like there's not a lot of things that define like what's your prime year, because nowadays you can do whatever the fuck you want at whatever age you want, and it's very accessible to you. Like maybe back then, like that's also a generational shift that we're probably going to see here within the next 10 years, where like there's no such thing as a prime year anymore. You can be able to do whatever you want at whatever age.
I thought I was in my prime in high school.
Yeah, so did every other high school.
And then I turned 25, and I was like, whoa, this is an awesome year.
Absolutely. But I do think that like with the way that our generation, and specifically speaking on us, that the biggest change is going to come. Only because I know how hard these people fight for anything they believe in. They understand that they can't do shit. And honestly, if you want me to be completely honest, everyone's like, oh, go out and vote. You know, voting is – yes, yes. And I'm not knocking going out and voting. There's nothing – I'm not saying that. It absolutely 100% important to vote. And if you don't vote, go vote, because you can. It is your absolute – it is your – due diligence as a citizen of this country to go out there and cast your vote. It's your livelihood. It's your future.
Can I speak
go
on that
do
for
it.
A second?
But yes, but hold on one second. I think that with that being said, I believe that our generation has preached a lot about that specific thing, going out and voting as younger individuals, as younger adults.
Than they ever have.
Then I don't think that they ever have, but I think as what is important now. Because back then, it's just different. It's just the way everything was laid out, the way society viewed everything is different. Now, it's you can't as Matt spills his martini all over his himself, which I'm gonna have to make him a new one. I will say this: most of the time, we are as a whole, we got to be able to make our decisions as a community of society that understands that like A is bad and B is good. Well, right now it's kind of difficult because majority of things right now, there's so many opinions. And I mean, it's the issue you run into living in a free country. So in my personal opinion, yes, I believe that our generation, white, black, Mexican, you know, Latino, Italian, it doesn't matter what you are, Asian, it all comes down to, especially in the United States of America, how we can come together to understand that nothing means shit when it comes to the color of your fucking skin, because it doesn't.
It doesn't.
And
it's just ignorant bullshit.
I mean, fact that people even have an ideology on the fact that it does is absolutely insane. And that is, there's no scientific proof. And if people really, really want to get into it, go look at why people are black and people are white scientifically. It's absolutely hilarious when you tell people that they don't know.
And if anybody disagrees, and this now I'm strictly talking to the people who listen right now.
Yes.
If anybody disagrees, please fucking call me.
Please call.
And let's have a talk. And I'm not even kidding. I'm going to give you my phone number right now if you really are that opinionated, because I know there are people that really are that ignorantly opinionated. I'm calling you out right fucking now. My number is 816-803-7527. Write it down. I don't give a fuck. Let's talk, because it's bullshit. It's fucking bullshit.
As everybody heard, give him a shout. If you fucking feel some way,
and
let him
put
know.
You, I won't put you on blast on a podcast or nothing like that. I'm not interested in that. I want to hear what you have to say, and I'm going to fucking make you feel like a dumbass because it's fucking true.
It's true. 100% agree. I mean, I think everybody knows who is at least somewhat smart in the world we live in that the shit that we see on the news about the shit, like specifically in Minnesota or like in Georgia about the kid getting shot, the fact that we're killing people because of it is outrageous just based off of a fucking racial bias. Get the fuck over it. It's 20 goddamn 20. We're in a global fucking pandemic.
So much more shit.
Get the fuck over it.
Holy shit.
Get over it. And that is my message today.
I'm going to say this.
Which, yes. keep saying it.
Before I say what I want to say, I'm going to say I do not know a lot about politics and voting. I don't know a ton about it. But what I do know, and I may sound a little stupid when I say this because I don't know the terminology. I don't know nothing about it. But, like, I do know that your vote counts even when you don't vote.
100%.
And that's why people say vote.
It is your obligation as a citizen of this country. If you are absolutely legal to do it, please do it.
And I am 20, almost 27 years old, and I did not find that out till this year. I really believed that if I don't vote, then it doesn't matter. It's just going to be in the world's hands.
Right.
And then I learned that by, like, digging into politics a little bit. Like, holy fuck, my vote counts even if I don't vote?
Right.
That's fucked up.
Absolutely.
So, like, now I have to vote.
You have to. It's
so
numbers.
Don't feel
the numbers
bad
game.
If you didn't know that, don't feel bad, because I am with you. But it is true. It is 100% true. And with that being said, we're about 23 minutes in right now. We're at a weird place with the podcast. We're on a different platform that we haven't been recording from. And we can't do all the fun gimmicky shit that we do. And we can't record as long as we want. So now we're at 23 minutes, 40 seconds. So what I want to do is...
Which, first of all, welcome back, every single person that's ever listened to us. We love you. We're so sorry that it's been this long.
We need
and
a
my God,
intro.
My God has shit changed in the world since last time you heard
Miller
us.
Intro.
So, two guys walk into a bar, you know us. My guy, Matt Robbins, sitting across from me. Which, by the way, not only is this a special fucking episode, this kid is in town. We are social distancing, kind of.
6 minutes. And 6 feet apart.
6 feet. We
this
are
is
six
three,
feet apart.
That's three.
And we live in a different fucking world than the last time you heard our voices. So we appreciate everybody who will hopefully listen to this and the fans that have listened to us before. We are so happy to be back. We're going to try to at least get a couple episodes in here and there. Life has taken a crazy right turn. We're dealing with the busyness, but at the end of the day, it's not going to stop us from voicing our opinions, getting out there, talking to you guys, talking with my boy Matt Robbins, and we're here. And two guys walk into a bar. Guess what? Bars just open in Kansas City. We're back. Okay? So let's go.
We've been away because the bars haven't been open.
The bars have not been open. But as of May 15th, 2020, they are open in the Kansas City metro area. And if you're everywhere else that's not open, I'm sorry. I am raising my glass to you and to Matthew. Cheers. And we will drink one for you. And if you're drinking one, a cold one on the couch right now, we appreciate it. We love it.
Ladies and gentlemen, call this part one pre-podcast because we just got started. We are coming right back. This is part one.
This is
part
one.
We're going to stop. We're going to make more martinis, and we're going to make a podcast part two.
We love you.